Hey there, and welcome to Sister Catherine's podcast. Hi, I'm Sister Catherine Herms, author of the best-selling book, Surviving Depression, A Catholic Approach. In this podcast series, Jeanette and I are sharing conversations about my newest book, Reclaim Regret, How God Heals Life's Disappointments. Thank you for joining us today as we talk about the regrets we all carry in our hearts and the deep soul healing that can be ours.
Okay, well, welcome to podcast number 8 in the Reclaim Regret series. We are talking about the book Reclaim Regret, How God Heals Life's Disappointments. You see your failure, God sees your future. The author is here with me now. It's Sister Catherine James Hermes. Thanks for coming back in, Sister.
Thank you. It's always a delight.
Well, we talked last time, and actually in the past, we've been talking a lot about a number of the things that sort of compound regret. So what I want to do today is sort of turn that, and instead of talking about what is making us feel regret, what we can do with it, and one of those things is repentance.
Repentance actually is kind of a difficult topic. Some people would not even want to talk about repentance, and especially in regard to regret, because our regrets are so complex and so different. Sometimes we regret small things from our own life. Other times there are regrets about what our life has become because of another person's choice or even another person's sinfulness or crime. And so when we talk about repentance, it is a very tender topic and a very complex topic. And I also believe that often we don't really understand repentance in a profoundly evangelical way.
Say a little bit more about that. I'm not sure what you mean.
When I was on retreat recently, I remember walking down the road that runs in front of our retreat house, and at the end of that road, just as it turns, there's a Christmas tree farm and a horse farm. So
oh, nice.
It's very beautiful. But as I was walking along, they must have recently harvested or cut down their Christmas trees from last year. They were all very small. And so there was a lot of weeds around the edges that were very clear. You could see them. And as I walked further, I saw on the edge of their property this spray of beautiful wildflowers. And it immediately touched me very deeply. And I remember drawing in my breath and saying, God loves the wildflowers. You know, at the beginning of a retreat, you're looking at the past year, you're looking at yourself, you're kind of coming face to face with yourself, and God loves the wildflowers. When we look at the gospel, God didn't say, look at the cultivated roses. He didn't say, go and look at the expensive flower bouquets. He said, look at the wildflowers and see how my Father takes care of them. And when he talks about what you need to become, it's always the humility of the wildflower that has nothing of its own to boast about.
And something that many people overlook.
And something that's overlooked that's here today and gone tomorrow. Right. And yet God loves the wildflowers. And I remember saying to God right there, you love the imperfect. You love the not cultivated. You love all my unsaintly attempts at human and spiritual life. It's not the roses that attract you, but the wildflowers, almost the weeds. The weeds and my weeds, God, have a beauty to you. And as I was reflecting on this, it almost cut me to the quick. And something began to bubble up from within me, something warm and deep and profound. The cover of the book, again, has a bowl on it, and the shattered pieces are glued together with gold. But in St. Paul's thought, We are these broken earthen vessels, but within them we hold such a marvelous, wondrous treasure, and that light just exudes out of us. And so that experience of warmth, of just utter amazement and humility, that in my wildflowerness, God still loves me. And in that Christmas tree farm, along the edges where the weeds grow, those beautiful flowers, weeds themselves were what attracted my attention and moved me in this way. So when we talk about repentance, we're not talking necessarily about I need to do repentance for something I regret. We're talking about the movement of God, of light, and of grace within us. And that repentance, that light, that tender mercy that brings us to our knees in gratitude. So when I talk about repentance, that's what I mean, what God's mercy moves us to.
Yeah, to go back to your wildflower analogy, what I think about when I think about regrets is, you know, this isn't who I plan to be, or this isn't where I plan to be by now, or this, I've taken a way different route. Mm-hmm. And I can see that as being wrong or imperfect. And essentially what that's saying is that God loves me even when I'm imperfect and have taken a different road from what I thought I would be taking. Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is sometimes our regrets are that we didn't do, become, or get what we wanted or expected. And because of that, we regret a decision that we made that brought us in this direction, or a decision another made that forced us in a certain direction, or blocked the road to something we really wanted or expected or hoped for or dreamed about or thought we absolutely needed for ourselves or for others. And in those moments, regrets actually open us up to truth and maybe allow us to see God's dream for us. At a certain point of all of our lives, I think it happens over and over again in the whole life process as an adult. We have these dreams, we work towards them in our young adulthood. And at a certain point, we have to kind of stop and readjust those dreams according to reality and then consolidate ourselves according to reality and build according to the direction where we seem in.
We're actually in.
Right. And then the interesting thing is it happens over again, you know, as we become, we leave young adulthood and we move into middle adulthood. We do the same thing. We say, this is what I want my middle adult years to be like. And we start moving in that direction. And at a certain point, we have to stop and say, these dreams won't happen. This experience or this event has happened that is going to readjust my ideas of what will be. And again, we need to go through this whole inner process, this dance with God, that allows us then to consolidate what those years will be like. And we do this over and over again through our life.
Well, one of the things that you and I have talked about some, and it came to me as sort of a new concept, is when you talked about the sweetness of regret. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I found that extremely helpful.
The sweetness of regret. I have found that walking through our journeys of disappointments or reflecting on what we may regret about our life can be very harsh, can be very painful. And it's painful partly because we're out of control in some respects. We don't have complete control over our life. And our life is going to have unexpected problems and pains that we didn't sign up for. Going to have relationships that become very painful and we can't control the other person, or we can't control the situation when our company closes and we're let go. There's so many situations in life, natural disasters, that we're not able to control. And I think being able to feel like we have some security in life, some safety, allows us to think that life is going to be without regrets. But in reality, we learn as we grow older, there's so much that happens that we cannot control. And as we bring Jesus into those situations, whatever they might be, and here I'm really talking very concretely, I remember thinking about a relationship and the way we conversed and talked that really bothered me, that bothered me about who I was in that relationship and what was happening in that conversation. And I remember one day at prayer, just imaginatively asking Jesus to come with me to that table where that kind of conversation normally takes place. And he sat down. He didn't stay on the edges watching. He sat down and listened. And to my surprise, he started to weep. You know, there was something in me that was like, oh, well, I hope he tells the other person this, that, or the other thing, or whatever. But he just started to weep, and it made me realize, it actually made me melt inside, that there's more at stake than being right, or there's more at stake sometimes than doing the good thing. There's more at stake than having the last word. His tears and his gentleness with me and with the other person helped me realize that there is a sweetness and a tenderness in life that we often don't access, that we often don't touch. And his tears to me were tears about the way that our uncharity affected him and affected others. And so I turned within myself for the first time in this situation, and there was a new openness, a new repentance within myself.
It was almost like a new reality for you of the situation.
Yes, it opened up a whole new door, a whole new vision, a whole new filter. Repentance in some way allows us to see things the way God sees them. And we move sometimes beyond our disappointments and our regrets or our anger when we're shocked or we're amazed, we're put in awe at the way God sees things, which is so outside of the normal parameters of who we think we are. I remember many, many years ago doing a retreat, an Ignatian retreat, and I actually did it online over a period of 4 or 5 months with a Jesuit. And he didn't say a whole lot, but at the end of the day, I was sent a little resume about my prayer. And one day, I sent my little email to him, and he emailed back immediately, and he said, that is the Spirit. It is more like a gentle breeze, like a very, very slight fragrance caught on the wind. When you encounter that, you know you have encountered the Spirit. And I thought immediately, all my soapbox days, when I stood on my soapbox and wanted to tell other people what we should be doing or the community what we should be doing, it's possible that that may not have been the Spirit, because there was a certain violence going on there. A certain, like, I am right, and this is what should be happening here. And that never left me as like a touchstone of knowing where the Spirit is. So going back, the wildflowers that touched me immediately, a way of looking at things and thinking about things that was totally out of my frame of reference. Gentleness even with myself, looking at the tears of Jesus and learning a new gentleness with others and with myself. That's truly a place of the Spirit. So there is a sweetness about repentance that allows us to discover regret as like a gentle road that leads us into something new.
Well, while you're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that we've also talked about around this repentance and regret is we often end up receiving some of the same treatment that we've given out to others in our life, which is an interesting little irony. But that can open us up to a new charity as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm 55. So I'm in my beginning or part of my middle years, and that is true. I heard that all in my younger years, that, you know, be careful because the way you treat it, what you give to others is what you will receive. And it's true. I can verify it now that the way I was, I now realize what that was like for other sisters or for older sisters. Because others are that way with me now. And they're very small things. But when you're young, that's the way things are. That's the way you learn what your opinions are and where the direction of your life is going to go and your vocation within a vocation and where God is calling you to be a prophetic voice. So all of that is a reality. And then when we get older, we have to learn a new reality. It's a humbler reality. It's a simpler reality. It's a place of wisdom. We can't be a voice of wisdom necessarily when we're in that younger space. But it's when we walk through in those little older years and we have to kind of sort through what's happening, what we're seeing others say and do, their opinions and their ideas, their realities, along with what's actually happening now within us in a greater capacity to process those moments of the bubbling up of grace, putting that all together along with sometimes the pain that comes with life, that's when we kind of learn this tenderness. Pope Francis talks so much about tenderness, and I think he's able to touch that because he's found that within himself. He's also gone through much suffering in his own personal life. And now as he looks out through the whole world and sees the suffering of so many people, you can tell he feels for each one of them, for each one of us. And so as we live through our middle or later years, we're not the ones necessarily in control anymore or running the show or leading the Calvary forward. We're in a different place and we have something different to offer. It's in that place that sometimes we may feel regrets about how we may have been, but we have to realize that what we've been, what we did, and who we are, whether it was the best or not so much the best, if it was a struggling place where we learned along the way, every experience along the way has made us who we are today. And none of it is to be completely just cut off. It's not this good girl, bad girl, right, wrong, necessarily all the time. A lot of it is this mysterious working together of life and of grace. God is so patient with us. We look at the scriptures, and from Genesis to Revelation, the patience of God for his people is immense. And his patience with me and with you is absolutely immense. And nowhere in that journey has God said, I expect perfection, and if you are not perfect, I am going to cut you off. And in fact, with Moses, when he got a little bit in that direction, Moses said, then cut me off because I'm standing with my people. And it just, I think that's such a lovely part because it It exemplifies how much God will love us. And even another sister was just sharing with me that, you know, we even have regrets about what we see others doing that doesn't really even affect us. There's so much turmoil in the country, in the world, even in our church. And we see things that others have done that pain us, that make us ashamed, that give us such sorrow and such regret. We may not even have been hurt by it. We may have seen others hurt by it or know others who've been hurt by it. Jesus came and he died on the cross. He committed no sin, but he bore our shame. And so even when we're reclaiming regret, it's such a powerful moment. Even in regrets, these types of regrets, we willingly learn how to bear the shame of others. And that's part of that tenderness that helps us to grow into truly wise people.
Yeah, along those lines, you've talked about being awed by God's presence, this sort of pleading with God, as opposed to, oh, you know, mea culpa, which there's certainly a place for, but just the awesomeness of God's presence.
I think when we're looking down on ourselves, when we're hard on ourselves, there's certain personalities, and I'm one of them, that are very, very hard on themselves, you know. And if we're hard on ourselves, unfortunately, we then are hard on other people and we don't realize it. So when we're talking about repentance, it's not a movement toward becoming harder on ourselves. It's more a movement of opening ourselves up to relationship, that relationship with God, the request for God's mercy, but also regrets are usually never isolated. It usually has something to do with a relationship we've had or have with another person. Just simply when there's been a little bit of a misunderstanding or a spat or angry words or something more serious with another person, there's this little dance that goes on where, you know, we're trying to kind of read their body language, right, and their words and their eyes to see, like, are they mad at me or do they blame me or does anybody even notice I did it? And, you know, everybody does this little dance around. And but it's when we have that courage to say, I think I may have hurt you. I really didn't mean to, and I'd love to talk about it when it's a good time. But I want to ask you to forgive me. That in itself just cuts through the dance. It cuts through the illusion that everything is okay. And it breaks open this space of truth and of trust that now can grow. It makes this space of freedom, because all of us can say we have not done all the good that we could have done at every moment in our life. So even when someone blames us unrealistically for something we may not have really said or done or meant, the fact is, through our entire life, at every moment, we haven't done and been and accomplished for another everything we could have done. We can all say in some respects at one moment in our life where the world most needed us, we weren't up to the task. So there's a certain freedom that comes with that, a certain humility that's able to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, and let's talk about it and move on. So repentance is about that space of freedom and hope and gentleness and tenderness, but a tenderness that then spills out in our relationships of mercy and reconciliation with each other. I remember as a very, very young sister, there was a retreat director that we had, and he said, when we demand perfection of each other, it's almost diabolical, he says, because really, when you look at the Gospels and the letters of St. Paul and the other letters of the New Testament, they talk about a community of reconciliation. That is the perfection we are meant to have, that we become always more and more perfectly reconciled with God and with each other. And that is a daily event. And it's hard. You know, I know it's hard. I don't do it every day. I don't do it when I should do it. But as I'm going through this podcast series and reflecting on things that are actually in Reclaim Regret again, it's making me realize the places that I can be more just broken open to the amazing presence, light, and mercy of God.
Well, next time we're going to be talking more about relationships, but before we close today, I think you had a reading from Reclaim Regret that really does zero in on what repentance is and what it isn't. Did you want to share that?
There's this one paragraph on page 73 of Reclaim Regret that attempts really to capture the amazing mystery of God's marvelous presence within us. God created the human heart to be like a large box that's vast enough to hold God Himself. When we hate ourselves for what we've done or who we think we are, our hearts become smaller and smaller until our spirits have no more room to breathe. Sometimes we don't think we can bring our shame into the open even before God, and perhaps you believe that God won't forgive you. You hide from God just as you hide from others when you are afraid to reveal your true self. At the root of this unhealthy behavior is the reality that you have rejected yourself, that I have rejected myself. I realized at a certain point that I was thinking God saw me the way I saw myself. And I remember on another retreat, I just was picturing the face of God looking at me, and they were such angry eyes. And I told you I was hard on myself. So they were angry, angry eyes. And at a certain point in my prayer and imagination, I took a rock and I threw it at that face, and it shattered like glass and disappeared because it was not the face of God. And I gradually began to realize that face was my face. And it was from moments that we talked about today. These are just examples of those experiences of grace that come from outside us. They're not reflections of the way we think and see and filter things. It's through those moments that we discover who God really is. It's through the tears of Jesus sitting at that table that I realize He is not concerned about who's right and wrong in this conversation. His heart is breaking. His heart is breaking. And that's what He needed to teach me. It's through these types of moments that we discover truly the face of God. So when we don't see this face of tenderness, the face that's revealed in the Gospels, is a sign perhaps that we've rejected ourselves. So do you love yourself in all your vulnerability and imperfection? Can you say, I am imperfect and I love myself? I am imperfect, and I believe that God loves me tenderly. And is such an important word here. I am this way, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that God loves me. When we refuse to allow ourselves to be held by God in the midst of our struggles, we deprive ourselves of God's tenderness toward us, a tenderness He so longs to show us.
All right. Well, we've been talking with Sister Catherine James Hermes. This is number 8 in our podcast series about Reclaim Regret. Sister, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And we'll see you here next time. God bless.
Revolving around a certain event or how they felt, immediately that changed. When there is a certain manifestation, people's hearts melt. Mm-hmm. So there are certain situations where it's dangerous to share information. That's obviously to be respected. We have to protect our story, our narrative, ourselves, and others. But in other cases, when we are honestly, when we can honestly say an appropriate amount of our narrative, of our and share our vulnerability, we probably bless the other people who then immediately realize that they have been ignorant, that they have not been understanding, mm-hmm. That they did not know the whole story, and that they now can't believe how much, you know, you have suffered. So I think it goes both ways, and, mm-hmm. and a certain vulnerability and safety in those issues kind of merged together and really discerned carefully can help us to live in truth and communion and charity, whether we're the ones who are living with the regret or we're living with someone else who has a regret.
Right. Well, I just would like to urge listeners, I love your idea, Sister, of keeping a notebook of all those golden moments that you can relive again and again when you're feeling sad or disappointed or tired. So I'm considering starting one right today. I hope that listeners will consider doing that as well. So we've been talking with Sister Catherine James Hermes about secrets. This is part of our Reclaim Regret podcast series. This is number 7 in the series. If you haven't listened to the others, I strongly urge you to do so. I also strongly urge you to read the book, How God Heals Life's Disappointments. You see your failure and God sees your future. And Sister Catherine, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Annette.
And we will see all of you back here again for our next podcast in the Reclaim Regret series. Until then, God bless you.
Would you like to continue this conversation? Join me on my Patreon project called Sister Catherine's Podcast for soul healing meditations, step-by-step guides to freeing your heart, practical guides for spiritual growth, and so much more. Thank you.